Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. It is always a privilege and a pleasure to stand behind pulpit. And tonight, if you would, turn your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I hope that I'll be able to speak loud enough for you, all of you, to hear, because I've been accused of being speaking too softly. which I tend to do that, even at home. I don't know why, but anyways. Chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." This 2 Timothy is Paul's last will and a testament to his spiritual son Timothy. Paul gives his final words of wisdom and encouragement to Timothy, who is ministering in the midst of opposition in Ephesus. Paul stresses the importance of godly living. It is very important. I hear so much about certain Christians. And Paul warns Timothy that his teaching will come under attack as men depart from the truth. And it tells Timothy to prepare for the coming apostasy within the church. Apostasy. It is a total desertion or departure from one's faith or religion. And over the years, the departure from one's faith has become more and more prevalent within true Christianity. And I remember times years ago, it was younger generation that departed. But today, you'll find the young and old alike departing from the truth. And Paul gives us much warning about these issues. And to prevent further apostasy, we must understand, first of all, our place. Tonight, if you're saved, your place is in heaven, not in this world. You are strangers and pilgrims, and you are just passing through. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." And it is essential that you understand your place. And the Paul says, "Watch thou in all things." And to watch has several meanings depending on how it is used or expressed. And for this particular passage, it has twofold meanings. A, to look or to observe attentively or carefully, be closely observant. When I was heating and cooling instructor at Lord Fairfax Community College, being that it is related to trades, there is lecture time and also hands-on, the lab time. And during the lecture, I would go over equipment operations and its safety. Along with it, I would go over safe handling of hand tools that are involved in heating and cooling trade. Then there is hands-on. Before I would allow students to participate, I would demonstrate how it is done so that they can know and understand by watching, observing. And in the spiritual realm, where also you need to also understand that what is around us by watching. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." And you see that You see that? Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Paul says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Watch. Furthermore, God through Apostle Paul reminds us that what we were before we got saved. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, the apostle says, and such were some of you, but you are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And in 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says this. He says, God says, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It is so important in our life to be watchful what is taking place in this world. And furthermore, those were such of you, so therefore you ought to know better. You ought to know better. B, second meaning of watch is to guard. Vigilance for keeping or protecting against danger. Now, during the demonstration of proper application of certain tools in my trade, I would go over safe work practices, safe work environment, and necessity of personal protective equipment. I will not allow my student to participate on hands-on unless you have PPE. Because it is very important. The accidents can happen, and in my trade, when accidents do happen, I've known cases where lives are lost. Lives are lost. In my trade, we deal with electricity as high as 480 volts all the way down to millivolts. We handle a sun torch. We handle hazardous chemicals often. And they need to know the danger that is involved handling all those things. And there are so many technicians that I was surprised that when I began teaching and instructing and such, and I began to realize that there are so many of them out there that they are not aware of certain dangers. And for an example, we deal with the pure oxygen. And also, when we get down with sealing and equipment, you have to pressure test it. And we use nitrogen to pressure test it. But I remember the one incident that took place in 1996. Yes, I moved here in 1995, West Virginia. And I remember very next year, there was an incident. If someone had used oxygen because he didn't have a nitrogen to pressure test the equipment. What he didn't know is that when that oxygen comes in contact with the oil, it is instantaneous combustion. So here it is, the contained system. Compressor has oil in it. And as soon as that oxygen touches that compressor, it exploded. It's like a bomb. The individual died. And there are many, many instances I've seen and I've witnessed personally that they get hurt because they did not have personal protective equipment. And likewise, we are to guard against danger, pearl of this world by putting on spiritual PPE. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand that evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, having on a breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And there are so many Christians who fail to put on the spiritual PPE. And oftentimes they are put on sidelines because of it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For your place is in heaven, not in this world. He says, watch. We need to understand our place in this world and to be watchful. Second, to prevent further apostasy, we must understand our position. Our position is that we are sons and daughters of God if you're saved tonight. Because of it, you're going to experience a lot of hardship in your life. And Paul says, endure affliction. Affliction comes in many forms, such as continued pain of body or mind or sickness or losses, calamity, adversity, or persecution. And Jesus warned us that these things will take place. Here in John chapter 15, verse 20, it says, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We are to endure affliction in this life, to carry on through despite many hardships in our life, to suffer patiently without yielding to the God of this world. Yet, there are so many of us who give up or quit serving God just because they face a little of a hardship or persecution in their life. And they often blame God, when in reality, God has done so much for them. And as a child of God, we need to become dependent upon God. To be dependent upon God is to come to church whenever there's a door open. Here the Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. To be dependent upon God means going soul winning. God said, for go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke 16:15. To be dependent upon God means to pray for one another, lift up one another. God says, pray one for another, James 5:16. To be dependent upon God means to seek to serve God to please our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. And believe me, there are many who is dependent upon God. And I know some families and friends who are dependent upon God. And they have gone through some hardship in their life, a tribulation. You know, by it, they became even more faithful and pliable. And today, they are being used of God. I have some friends that has gone on taking a church, pastoring a church today. They are much more sweeter when they went through these tribulations in their life. And I also know there are some families and friends right here in this church that has gone through some tribulation in their life. And they came through. Today, they are faithful serving God right here in this church. My son-in-law, he pastors a church in San Antonio, Texas. He's been pastoring for about 29 years now. First 4 years of their ministry, they lived out of two-car garage. At that time, they had a baby, my oldest granddaughter, Angelica. 4 years. During that 4 years, his families, his friends came along and says, give up. Give up. Go find a job in the world. But you know, they depended upon God. And they stood firm. They stood firm. 4 years, living out of a two-car garage. 29 years. Today, they are doing great. They are doing great. And because I am being dependent upon God myself, I cling to promises of God so that I can endure affliction. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that says this, there hath no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That's a promise. He says he won't allow you to go through temptation more than you are able. He said he won't allow you to go through that. That's a promise. But wherewith the temptation also make a way to escape. Another promise. A way to escape. He has made a provision so that you can escape. That you may be able to bear it. Way to escape, that is Jesus. Here in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 15, it says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without a sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh my, you know, here it is. God has made provision in our life so that we can endure it. And furthermore, he makes a promise that he will not put on any more than you can handle it. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 21, here's Jesus. Come unto me. O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus said, come. Come. But yet, there are so many of us neglect and I failed to do so. Daniel, my grandson, he was going to Texas Independent Baptist Seminary, TIBS, they call it, over there in Longview, Texas. Bob Gray. And he was supposed to graduate in May. In May. This May. In a couple months. Well, I think it was a couple months ago. He got expelled. Now he's not able to go back until another year or so. And I didn't know this when I talked to my grandson last month. I went to Texas and I stopped at the Longview, got there Saturday, spent some time Sunday going to Emmanuel Baptist Church over there at Longview, Brother Bob Gray. And at that time, I did not know that my grandson was expelled. Well, I think he figured that, well, you know, mom must have told me about my daughter. But anyways, so I was talking to my grandson. I said, Daniel, I said, no matter what happens in your life, don't get away from God. I said, more trouble you face, more persecution you face, you need to get closer and closer to God. And my grandson, he says, yes, Grandpa. And he said to me, I didn't know this. Well, I didn't know that he got expelled until I went to San Antonio and my daughter told me. So he said, yes, Grandpa. He said, I plan to I'll go back home to San Antonio and help my dad. At that time, it didn't click. It didn't click. So in essence, what he was telling me that seeing that he has been expelled, so he's going to go back, work with his dad in the ministry, then come back. And I said, well, that's good. And I thought he was talking about after he graduated. But anyways, he said, that's my plan. And I told my grandson, I said, Daniel, again, whatever you do, don't get away from God. The day you get away from God, you are going to be miserable the rest of your life. Miserable. I have not known anyone who has gotten away from God that is happy. Their life is miserable. From outside, you look at it, it may seem like it's okay. They seem to be fine. But no, they're not. They are miserable. Thirdly, to prevent further apostasy, we must understand our purpose. Our purpose. Our purpose is to do the work of an evangelist. Preach the gospel. That mandate is for everybody. I have heard so many people tell me that, no, it's not. It is preachers or ministers' job to go out there and knock on the doors. Here, you know, Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's mandated to every one of us. And I am so glad tonight that these couple that came to my house, knocking on the door, December 28th, 1979, interrupted me. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And they came back the following month, 1980, in January. My wife and I, we got saved Saturday night. And I could not wait to get up in the morning and go to church. And let me tell you, I am not a morning person. All right? I'm not. But that Sunday morning, I could not wait. And anybody that make an appointment with me today, now that I don't work, it's going to have to be after 10 o'clock. You know why? Because I don't get up in the morning. If I don't have any appointment to be with somewhere or be here in church, if you leave me alone, Well, I don't normally get up to 9, 10 o'clock. Today, in fact, I got up at 10 o'clock. I know some of you are probably thinking, what? Yeah, well, but if you leave me alone, I'll step all night. For me, well, Brother Darcy asked me, so how late do you stay up? I says, well, you know, I go to bed maybe 12, 1 o'clock. You know, to me, it's not late. But if I have my way, I'll stay up to 4 or 5 in the morning. But I'm glad that these couple that follow through in their obedience to God, that they came to my door. And that is a mandate to every one of us. And to do the work of an evangelist, then there is a collective evangelism. There is a ministry of a local church right here in SBBC, collective. So whenever there's a new visitor comes and they have a baby, that baby needs to be tended to so that mom and dad can be under the preaching of the Word of God. Then there's a choir and a special singer. They sing praises unto God to prepare their hearts to receive the Word of God. Then there's bus ministry. And there's all sorts of ministry here that you can involve collectively to do the work of an evangelist. There's a lot. And bus ministry, that's the reason why I say these couple that came to my house, they were looking for a bus rider, looking for kids. Well, they ended up talking to me, and I'm glad they did. And like I say, so it is important that we need to look at whatever the avenue that we have. Not only personally, but collectively. There's a much, much need in various different areas in the ministry that you can get involved to do the work of evangelists. You see, here, John chapter 4, verse 35, it says this, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest." Here in Matthew 9:37, then saith he unto his disciple, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborer into his harvest." Pray therefore. In other words, how about you? Pray therefore. Whenever somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know, when somebody has a need in a certain area, and they come to you and say, hey, I want you to pray about this. In other words, they're asking you, I want you to think about this. Pray therefore. And to prevent further apostasy, we must understand our need to make full proof of our ministry. Full proof. Proof is the evidence or argument that compels the mind to accept the assertion as true. Assertion. In other words, here's a bottle of water. It's an assertion that, yes, it is the bottle of water. If I said apple, and said apple, look at it, the assertion is, yeah, it's apple. So in other words, what God is saying is that if you say you're a Christian, nobody really has to go over and trying to prove or to see if you really are Christian. Proof, assertion. But unfortunately, there are so many of us marred the testimony in their life. So my question this morning is to you is, what are you doing to solidify your position as a Christian? Are you living godly life that when others see you, they can attest that you are who you say that you are? True Christian, a born again, a blood-bought child of God. I hear so many times when I go knock on the door. Or if so-and-so at my work, if they're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. You know, we justify ourselves before God by Jesus Christ. We justify ourselves before the world by our good works. World watches you. And whenever this subject comes up as such, or whenever someone tells me that if the so-and-so is going to heaven, I know I'm going to heaven. That heads home. My dad. If anybody was going to make to heaven based on their good works, that would have been my dad. My dad, good person, good father, good husband. I have never heard my dad use profanity all the years that I grew up under him. Never. Furthermore, I have never heard my mom and dad raise their voice at each other. When they were in disagreement, I can tell. But they never shouted at each other. He didn't smoke. He drank every now and then on a special occasion. Holiday or when somebody comes over. Even at that, just a little sip. And my dad, he worked at the Ace Hardware. And he had a run over the place. And my dad is the type of person that you can make a deal on a handshake. You can con on it. If he gives you the word, then you can con on it. Anyways, he worked at the Ace Hardware. And he had a run of the place, even though there was owner and his son. They always stayed behind the counter. And anybody that came in wanted to know a certain thing, they always sent to my dad. Go see Al. He'll take care of you. He made sure that the place was well stocked, ordering things, this and that. He took care of everything. And there was this Baptist church that had a Christian school just like SBBC. And the maintenance people, they would come and buy things and pick up things. And there was this man, maintenance A, and one day he came and he said, "Hey, Al, I need a change, so would you let me sell it to me on a credit? I'll pay you back." Well, I mean, you know, my dad's been seeing this guy for years. My dad says, "Sure, go ahead." And time went by, and maintenance man B came in. So my dad asked this maintenance man B, "Hey, what happened to that maintenance man A?" And the maintenance man B says, "He went to Florida about a month ago." And that was about the time that he got that chainsaw. And he was mad. And every time when I witnessed my dad, he would tell me, he says, "If that guy from that church is going to heaven, then I know I'm going to heaven." And every time when I witnessed to him, he would throw that on my face, and he would just fold his hand, arms like this, and he would look up and ceiling. You don't want to hear it. I would witness to me anyways. November 2016, November. My dad and my sister visited me here in West Virginia. They came Friday, 2016. Saturday, again, I said, "Well, I got nothing to lose." I witnessed to him. This time, he listened attentively. and he got saved. I prayed for the man for 36 years. He finally got saved. In 2017, he went on to be with the Lord. Listen, you may not think much of yourself or as to how you live. They are watching. Your testimony matters. He says, need to make a full proof of our ministry. You see, today, this world is full of a desperate soul that is looking for an individual that reflects heaven's light. In their life, that says that heaven is real. And they're looking for an individual that reflects God's light in their life that says God is real. How about you? How about you? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. City that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Watch thou in all things, endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. How about you? Father, thank you so much for your eternal word that we can be instructed, receive instruction, that we can receive a comfort in your word. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be able to withstand the many wiles of the devil. And it is oftentimes difficult, but yet you made a promise to us that you would not put anything on us above any more than we can handle. And I pray that you would help us to be a testimony before this world. I pray that you would help us to be mindful of what you've mandated in our life to spread the gospel, Father. Thank you for all that you've done, and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.